the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard for... Oh, my God, well, they're still going
actually,
on. They haven't stopped.
The food is
Hello?
Hello?
Brilliant. Hello?
Because you don't eat it.
Well,
if you actually...
Well, boys, boys. Boys. Boys.
Who are you? Eric, sorry.
Boys, Mark, we've just had a commercial break. Boys.
But I want to ask him about the Bombay duck.
No, sorry, the duck's in the bath, finished doing its quackers jobby.
Do you know Bombay duck's a fish? And it's banned
Bombay
now, from the European Union. But can you still get it?
I don't know.
Fish? It's black pudding.
No, it's not. And it's not Cockney rhyming slang for something else either. It's a fish.
And you can't duck. Say that. No, I
can't. Look, guys, you've gone right through the commercial break. You're still whittering on. Can we not get back to some news, please?
Spoiled sport.
Hold on. Petra's after me bits.
Really? Yeah, put me in a curry, Petra.
We better say hello, because she's after me bum now.
Petra there?
Yeah,
Petra.
You've got to say hello. I know you're eating, just finish your eating. Put the headphones into the thing. You need to plug the headphones in. The headphones are not plugged in. Over there on the speaker system, underneath the red plug, you plug the headphones in.
Anyway, Mark.
Over
there. What's going on over here?
Where were we?
They sell bald tyres by the side of the road. They take them off a car because they're illegal, and they sell them to somebody else.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on, let's just turn that up for Petra. She should be able to hear things now. Yeah, good. Right, so, do you want to... Here you go, boys. Come and say... here you go, Auntie. Petra's finished emptying her mouth.
Come on, Petra, what did you have in your mouth after you've been playing with these bits?
Hey, that's... Petra, hi.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Petra.
Nice to have a voice of sanity on this program.
I know, you miss me, don't you?
Oh, very much.
Me too.
Oh, is this...
You miss you too.
Everlasting
yeah,
love.
Yeah, I miss me too.
Yeah, there we are. So we've got a lot in common with each other, really.
Have you missed me, Petra?
Of course.
No.
I've missed you.
God, you're so fickle.
All I've done is think about you.
You are so far away, I have to miss you.
Oh, she's so sweet. Nice and gentle and kind.
Do you know how much Petra and Lee get on?
We hate each
other. They get on very well.
They do. In actual fact, one of the times when Lee was here.
Oh, I know. This isn't fair. This isn't fair.
Why?
Because it was a mistake.
Was it? Do you want to tell everybody?
Have you been a rotter to Petra?
I was a little bit rotten to Petra, but only by accident.
A rotter.
That is the one that he was going to tell.
Have you been a cad?
He's been a cad.
A tea cad.
Tea caddy. Right, come on, let's get back on with some news. Anything from Pop Rad this week?
No, you know it all. You say it all.
Oh.
Okay, I say bye, guys.
Bye, Petra.
Bye, are you going?
Yeah, she's gone.
Oh, Petra, don't go.
She's gone, mate. That's it. She's nicked me wallet and gone. Where are we? Dad snaps after he's accused of terrorism for photoing his baby girl. What?
Well, I think this is just an incredible story, but it just shows the absolute abject insanity that Britain has fallen into. There's a bloke with his kid in a shopping centre. Where was it? Near Glasgow. So, you know, well, I don't think that's got anything to do with it, actually. I don't think you can make a joke out of it in any way. It was the Brayhead shopping centre near Glasgow, and he's got his four-year-old girl with him. She's eating an ice cream, and he takes a photograph with his camera.
Right.
With his camera phone, yeah.
Right.
Of her. Within seconds, security guards from all over the place have pounced on him and made all sorts of threatening noises and gestures and insulted him and told him that he's a terrorist and what he was doing is illegal. The police are called in. The man's all vilified for all sorts of things because somehow, for some inexplicably unbelievable reason, the people in Britain think that taking a photograph of your four-year-old daughter eating an ice cream is potentially an act of terrorism.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, how ridiculous, though, wasn't it? And, of course, while all these people are gathered around this guy, which actually was really a diversion, probably to allow some terrorists to plant a bomb somewhere in some Marks and Spencers in the same shopping centre. But it is, you're quite right, it's ridiculous. But I think that the really concerning thing about this is that it seems that this is not unusual. There are loads and loads of shopping centres around the country where the rule has been that you should not allow photographs to be taken. And the trouble is that it's been over-implemented by rather over-enthusiastic, jobless security people who really haven't been instructed properly.
If there are any security guards out there listening, he's quite right. If you're a security guard, try and get another job because it means you're thick if you don't.
Well, that's a very, very sorry about
that. I don't agree with that at all.
I hope I didn't say that at all. But you know, it seems to me, I mean, of course, at the end of the day, I suppose it's the management, really, of these places that are not giving proper instructions. And what I am pleased to see now is that
the word has gone round to the security guards themselves.
Well, I hope not. And the word has gone round to these shopping centres now that they've got to lighten up and, you know, apply a bit of humanity and a bit of common sense. But the real shame about this, actually, is that while this piece of news was being reported that this man was being harangued for taking photographs, every potential terrorist in the country and every potential terrorist in the world must have been laughing and saying, there's another victory. And I think that's what this does. This hands a victory to terrorists. And, you know, I think that we have to try and make life go on a bit more than this.
I think that's a bit of an overstatement that they're doing this to this bloke. I've insulted security guards, but to say that this gave a fillip to all terrorists around the world is a bit dramatic. We went to a shopping centre in Delhi somewhere, I can't remember what it was called now. It's a modern shopping centre for here. And outside, you're searched before you go in. Every single person going in that place, your car searched. You have to go through one of these metal detecting machines. Then they actually pat you down. And imagine how many people are going through this to go to the shopping centre. But when we came out, we weren't checked on the way out, of course, because it wouldn't matter if you already got in. But I noticed on the door to the shopping mall, right, honestly, it says no ammunition allowed, no weapons allowed. And I thought the same thing as Mark just said, really. I thought, well, all the Al-Qaeda terrorists are going to turn up at this shopping mall, look at that sign and say, oh, no, lads, look at that. We'll have to go home now. What?
Absolutely. But, of course, I mean, I think we do have to remember, though, about India. I mean, India has got a much more serious terrorist problem than the United Kingdom has. You know, we're probably much, much better protected. You know, when you think of the problems with India's neighbours, and I don't want to say who's wrong, who's right, but, I mean, there are huge, you know, tensions there, inter-religious tensions. They've had tremendous problems, tremendous atrocities. So I suppose that you can imagine them being a little bit more careful than we are.
Indeed. Moving along to the internet now. Apparently, yes. The four leading web providers in the UK, that's BT, Sky, TalkTalk and Virgin, will offer protection for smartphones, laptops and PCs at the point of subscription. It's something that David Cameron has been talking about, and he's going to be meeting all sorts of different representatives of the internet industry as they try to get rid of calm it down concerns over the sexualization of children. The Prime Minister will also launch Parent Port, a website for parents to complain about inappropriate content, and not before time, I have to say.
Absolutely right. You know, why is this news now? This should have been news a long, long time ago. And it's amazing that they've had to negotiate with these internet providers to do this kind of thing. It's, you know, aren't these internet providers, aren't they run by people who are parents themselves?
Exactly. And sorry, at the moment, we've lost our connection to India, but we'll try and get it back as soon as we can. And it's fair to say, Mark, that, well, as you know, we tried to, through one of the agencies, advise an agency of problems with child picked images and things like that, and they didn't give a flipping damn.
No,
I find that's absolutely and utterly appalling.
Well, I quite agree.
Let's hope that they. Hello, whose phone was that?
That's I think that was Lee trying to get hold of you.
Was it? Oh, well, let's phone him back. There we go. Hello, Lee.
Hello.
Yeah, you disappeared off again. Anyway, let's...
He's off to the Kazi again, I
yeah,
suppose.
Yeah, he was up the Kazi again.
Up the Khyber Pass. What?
Let's move on to Blackberry, who've had so many problems this week. But interestingly, again, I was talking to a colleague in the Czech Republic who said his Blackberry's been working fine all the while.
Hmm. Ooh.
So who's right and who's wrong? BlackBerry, of course...
I noticed you took my headline off it.
Yeah, I would as well. it does get a bit confusing because RIM, or RIM, is the... Stop it. He's the company that look after BlackBerry. And it is true to say that there was a hellish problem that even their CEO didn't know about or know the solution or problem. And the problem then happens is that as more and more people try to send messages or emails across the BlackBerry system, it builds up as a backlog. So one small problem, it's a bit like... When cars slow down on the motorway, the first one gets through quite quickly, but later down the track, you're almost ground to a halt. And that unfortunately, is the way it works with systems like this. But they are saying now that the millions of BlackBerry users should see everything coming back to normal quite quickly.
Well, I mean, it must have been very embarrassing, isn't it? I mean, this company, I mean, most of the other companies sort of sell their systems on the basis that you've got access to your apps and this sort of thing. But RIM is really very specifically about email and communication between business people and what have you. So there's a particular embarrassment, I think.
Well, the only consolation is, of course, idiot people that wanted to cause campaigns for stupid things in certain parts of the world were unable to communicate with each other. That's got to be a good thing.
That's a good idea, actually. That's a very good point to make, yeah.
You know, some of the idiots, and that's why they use the things. But anyway, the good news is that BlackBerry should be coming back to normal as things go on, and business people will have to suffer the indignity of doing email or messaging people rather than, hang on a minute, using the phone to talk to people.
What? Using a what?
Using the
phone.
Still
do that with phone
to talk. Just run that past me. The last bit, I didn't quite get to talk to people.
Yes.
Well, that's a great idea. What?
Is wow. That, is that with a voice?
That's with a voice as well, yes.
Sorry, with a... All right.
So you...
No, no.
Are you telling me it's not going to catch on now?
No.
Now, talking to people. I hate people.
I know you do. That's only because everybody hates you as well. But anyway,
they didn't mean it.
So never mind, boys and girls. If you own a BlackBerry, you can stop talking to people again now because it should be working again very soon. I'm sorry. Call me old-fashioned if you will, but my phone is used for talking to people with the occasional SMS. Not very often SMS because I can't be bothered to do it.
And if you don't massacre them.
Stop it. What's this story about a meteor?
I think this is brilliant.
What a tragic story. Another meteor bloody well missed its target. Came in Paris just in that place.
I wish it had landed on my ex.
Came in a great big target right around the Arc de Triomphe and that great big Blackpool Tower thing they've got here. And whoever chucked the meteor, well, all I can say is better luck next time because the meteor, I think the funny part of the story is meant to be that it hit somebody's, it wasn't, it was a comet or part of a comet.
It wasn't. You're getting this totally wrong, you silly boy.
Well, I think actually in the French thing, the French news, is it's all a jeu de mots, it's a pun because it hit somebody's...
It's because his name is called Comet.
So they say, would you know, the comet has hit the comet.
That's it. That's why it's funny.
Are you following this, boys and girls? Because I've lost it completely.
It's Eric. Wow. It's a family called Comet, right? Yeah, so like a comet, like goes over your head in the sky, right?
Are you talking stories and stories?
Yeah, it landed on the second story of this house where this little schoolboy called Hugo Comet, like he's a bit like a bit of an order to a comet, really. Hugo.
Sounds like a car to me.
He's 11.
Right.
Actually, it's not a bad name for a car, is that? Hugo Comet. Woohoo! Yeah, he was 11, Right? Mark, what?
No, I was going to say, listen, I mean, really, you know, this is a non-story. I mean, we've got one story here of apparently a piece of a comet that hit somebody's house in Comet, which came down overnight. But in fact, you know, every night this city, Paris, is bombarded because every morning you wake up and there is dog's feces everywhere. Now, where does it come from?
Yeah, but that's there not coming out of space, dogs, is it? That's not the dog star doing that, is it?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. I think it comes from the dog constellation.
Oh, yes, and I think overnight.
I think overnight, all these different dogs' feces come down in different colours, different shapes. Different
shall I fade them down again, boys and girls?
Yeah, fade them down.
I'll fade the pair of them down again in a minute. So anyway, this thing that was the size of an egg.
No, the size of a dog turd.
This isn't a non-story. This is about a comet, a meteorite that hit a house, whether it had happened in Paris or not. We've just...
What? Lost it. Yeah, thank you very much. Anyway, throwing jungle books at little rays of lies. What?
Oh, God, honestly. You remember this little lad called Ray? Well, he's not that little. He's 17, actually, who claimed that he'd been living out in the forest after his family had died. And he'd been abandoned to the forest and he'd been looked after by little squirrels and things like that. Little birds used to come and feed him worms and like that. And he came out of the forest saying, help me, like that. Turns out he might not be telling the truth.
You're telling me he's been watching a Tarzan movie?
It sounds very much like it, because his grandparents have seen him on the tour and said, hang on, isn't that our little Ray? So that's why it says little ray of light, like little ray of sunshine. Anyway, what's really funny about it is, because he's from Switzerland, and the forest that he was in is in Germany, a big backfired on him, because the Swiss have been looking after him, and it looks like now the Germans are going to claim off the Swiss, or the other way around, the Swiss are going to claim off the Germans for his upkeep. Now, that's causing a cross-border row between two major countries, which
really?
Are the word?
I think they're about to go to war, actually.
Well, yeah, and that's all because of that little lying ray.
Right, oh, I see now. Okay, I'm so interested, we're going to move on. Apparently the cheapest gas and electricity deals are being ignored.
It's going to go off again now.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've been having a terrible rant this time, haven't I?
No, you haven't. Actually, there was all sorts of folks on TV channels talking about this. And this is where I get a little bit scared, to be quite honest, because I have all these, you know, change your tariff websites, which clearly have to be funded by something, on there claiming to be consumer groups. And I'm not being disparaging to any of them, but I don't know if they are or not.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is with them is
that they are actually, apparently, particularly in the UK, and so I assume this happens everywhere else, the companies are actually more or less hiding the cheapest deals from the public, but by dint of the fact that they are so difficult to reach and understand. So people are not getting the cheapest deals that they offer. Sorry, Mark, I interrupted you.
I think you said everything I was going to say. You're absolutely right.
Blimey, did you two just agree?
I love him. He's just a bit silly, isn't he? And it's like, no, when in Britain today, it's been announced today, and I'm over in Delhi, and I've been watching this studiously because that's what I do, and the power companies in Britain have just announced the biggest profits that they've had for the last 3 years.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I can never understand or work out. When they were nationalised businesses, they lost money. Yeah. Now they're not nationalised businesses, they make money. So what on earth is going on?
Well, before they were top heavy on their management, top heavy on their procedures.
And now they're top heavy on profit.
And now they're top heavy on profit. But of course, I mean, prices have risen. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But they've slimmed down their workforces. So they get their nice big bonuses, they get their nice big paychecks right at the top, which they never used to get. And they've got slimmed down. They've also managed to escape really proper regulation because they use real muscle. You know, as usual, it's snouts in the trough. And as Lee has absolutely said, they complicate everything, whether it's energy companies, phone companies. I can hear a lot of clicking here.
That's Lee. Lee, what he's just done is he's knocked his microphone out and he's plugged it back in again.
I had, actually. That's not 100% right.
And these people just make it so obscure to get decent deals that completely inaccessible. And believe me, at the end of the day, if the companies are winning, then you, the consumer, are losing. It's as easy
and it's
as that.
Also, it's also the poorest people in the countries who are being hit hardest by these people, particularly people who are on prepayment meters and things like that. It's shameful.
Yes.
So what's the solution then?
Proper compulsory regulation with independent oversight by ombudsman accountable to Parliament. It's huge. Nobody will ever dare do it.
Really? Mm-hmm.
I can't. Well, I think we're reaching a stage where somebody's going to have to do it, though, because now I know that in the last 12 months, the average electricity bill has gone up by, I think it's about well over
30%. Oh, easily, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, moving on to a subject very close to my heart, because I'm quite happy and proud to say that I am
swimming trunks to cut him into me.
Stop it. That I am a dyslexic person. If you ever read some of my emails that aren't spell checks, you'll know why, boys and girls. You probably won't. No, I won't. I won't. No, you don't have to do it. But apparently a Milton Keynes man, that's in the UK, has revealed how translating Klingon has helped him deal with dyslexia, says Lee.
I've got it written down as Ginklonen Lysdexia. Yeah, he's actually started to... He had a serious dyslexia problem. And I don't understand how he did this. Why would he decide to do this? So what he decided to do was talk in a foreign language to get himself over this problem of dyslexia.
But Klingon's not a foreign language. It's not
an English language.
Well, it's not real.
That's well, it the may not be foreign in Slovakia, but it's foreign in most other countries.
Yeah, but it's not a real language. It's a made-up language from Star Trek.
Just a minute. It's a language. It's a language. If you can communicate in it, it's a language.
But I've got to agree with Mark again, you know. It's like Esperanto.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Like that. Yeah. Oh. No, this could become a universal language. I agree with you, Mark. Like
the language of love.
Are
you dyslexic in the language of love?
The language of love. Yeah,
it's
right. So apparently, Jonathan Brown has spent 12 years learning the fictional language of the alien race from Star Trek films, and it's helped him identify problems and a way of working with my dyslexia. Well, I can...
And some inexplicable reason. He's going to be famous because of it as well.
Well,
but you know his real name is not Jonathan Brown.
What is it then?
It's Nodjajung Woban.
I'm going to be sensible for a second. And if you are a parent out there, one of my top tips, and the reason why, if I write...
You didn't mix that up, innit?
Exactly. if I write a letter with a normal paper and pen, the spell checker would be in meltdown. Yeah. But if you use a whiteboard or that which is a computer screen, it does aid dyslexia and does help a lot. So if you have got a child with dyslexia, don't force them away from the computer. Actually get them to write with it, because it can help a great deal.
I've heard as well, yeah.
It can help a great deal. Yeah. And working with whiteboards rather than the old-fashioned chalkboards in a school also makes a tremendous difference. And I genuinely, if there's a black background to something, I struggle. Whereas a white background makes it incredibly easier for me to read things. I'm not suggesting it does anything to my grammar, which is rubbish, as Lee will verify.
Don't you be rude about your family.
Thank you. But it certainly helps with reading and with writing to a degree. It doesn't cure every problem, but it can help an awful lot. So maybe it was just a fact of him using a whiteboard that made the difference, not necessarily talking Klingon.
Yeah. A few years ago, we tried with my daughter, who's got dyslexia, and for a while it worked, and that's when we started using yellow transparent overlays over her reading.
Yes, that works as well.
Yes, quite amazing.
There is a very easy thing as well. This is a journalistic thing, but it actually does work for dyslexics as well. Most people don't realise that when you read a word, you actually only read the ascenders and descenders on the word.
That's right.
And if you get them to focus, if you get somebody who's suffering that way on the ascenders and descenders, that also makes it a lot easier as well.
Yes, absolutely. And you can try it just for a bit of fun at home. Pick a smallish word and mix up the two middle letters and then write it down that way around and give it to somebody. They will actually read it correctly.
That's right. That's right. Because you read. Yeah. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And also going back to this fictional language, you know, of Klingon. I could go, what a song that was. Wasn't it? I've got a great big Klingon. And Tolkien did exactly the same thing and rewrote his own language. And so did Ray Bradbury in his science fiction works. So it isn't something that is so outrageous.
Really? I think you can actually install Klingon now as an additional language for Windows.
Can you?
Which, yes. Which reminds me, boys and girls. Thank you, Mark, for that. You're an absolute star. There have been...
Stop off for a week and they're up each other like...
Stop it. There's been a considerable level of security updates for Windows this week.
Not in India.
Well, you may well need to manually update your computer. So make sure you go to your Windows update and do update your computers. And that's prompted from another question that came in from a gentleman called Roger, who was... bemoaning the fact that a computer shop, who will remain nameless, was saying that on his specification of computer, he was not able to fit Windows 7. Well, Roger, I can tell you that you can. The reason why they're suggesting it won't work is because of the advice from Microsoft, which says the minimum standard is this. I've tested it on numerous computers, and I can tell you that a lot lower specification than that which Windows or Microsoft actually say will actually function. There will be times when it won't function, and I think they're just covering their own backsides. But it's definitely worth ignoring the comments from said computer shop, who I wouldn't let tune a push by. Bell, because I don't think they've got any warrant to do it. And the other thing, there's a spate, by the way, at the moment, of apparently television adverts telling people to tune their computers up. Right. Yeah. If you remember a while ago, we told you about things like CCleaner. We also told you about Super Anti Spyware, and we've obviously talked to you about AVG in the past. Yeah. Do use those tools. Please get them. I'm contemplating writing a tune-up your computer fact sheet next to save yourself shed loads of money.
Do it to the tune of Klingon.
Oh, stop it. So rather than waste money on some fictional thing, well, maybe not fictional, but there are so many automatic tips you can do yourself, costs you absolutely nothing, and the software equally costs you nothing. Well, worth saving yourself a few pennies. So think before you jump.
I don't have to worry because I'm on Windows XP.
No. What happens, boys and girls, is he comes on, my computer doesn't work. So
I should have told him what I did to you yesterday.
No. And what then happens is I connect up to Lee's computer like a service centre would do, and I fix his computer by remote control. On that happy note, we've got to say goodbye, everybody. That was a postcard from Pat Press. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, everybody.
Lee.
What?
Next week, I want goodbye in Indian. Language.
Okay, that's a deal. I'm really excited now. I'm going to ask an Indian how to say goodbye.
Wow. From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.